Today, my dear faithful, is the fourth Sunday of Easter. Now, the epistle is taken from the epistle of St. James, chapter 1. Dearly beloved, every best gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change, nor shadow of alteration. For of his own will hath he begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be some beginning of his creatures. You know, my dearest brethren, and let every man be quick to hear, but slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man worketh not the justice of God. Wherefore, casting away all uncleanness and abundance of malice, with meekness receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 16. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, I go to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, Whither goest thou? But because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow hath filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go. For if I go not, the Paraclete will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will convince the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me, and of justice, because I go to the Father, and you shall see me no longer, and of judgment, because the prince of this world is already judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will teach you all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but what things soever he shall hear, he shall speak. And the things that are to come, he shall show you. He shall glorify me, because he shall receive of mine, and shall show it to you. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. My dearest brethren, let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak, and slow to anger. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, that quote from today's epistle, swift to hear, but slow to speak, and slow to anger. This is one of the most reasonable, logical, and practical pieces of advice that few use. It is the great men, the truly brilliant, the truly virtuous, that put it into practice, like St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas, born a count of the Castle Aquino in Italy, is now the angelic doctor of the Church, the leading light in theology and philosophy. But when he was young, he was known as the dumb ox. You see, St. Thomas and his family were not small people. In fact, his brothers were renowned warriors on the battlefields, and they were helped in their fights in no small part by their great size and strength. St. Thomas, too, even as a boy, was built for war, though he, of course, refused to use it. And in fact, he was so humble and mild-mannered that he rarely spoke at all. His fellow students naturally noticed this, and being young boys, would tease him, even giving him that nickname, the dumb ox, for he was the size of an ox and yet was so silent. The young saint did not defend himself when he was made the butt of their jokes, but cheerfully he continued his studies. Now, as boys do, while they teased Thomas with insulting terms, they would also try to help him in his studies, for the boys began to believe their own teasing, that Thomas was all brawn and no brain. And so it happened one day that a classmate was trying to teach St. Thomas a theological truth that was a particularly difficult concept. The self-appointed tutor began to fumble his explanation, realizing he was not making any sense, and yet too proud to admit he did not know what he was talking about. That was when his patient pupil, the supposed dumb ox, gently took the book and began to explain the actual answer to this difficulty. St. Thomas's explanation was so clear and precise, it astounded his would-be instructor, making the boy realize that he had never really understood this quiet giant before. This boy was impressed, and not just Thomas's brilliance, hidden for so long by humility, but he was impressed by that very humility, that meekness that the saint had treated them with, all while he oftentimes knew better than them. He must have put together that Thomas had patiently bore with their teasings, and how slow he was to speak, and slow to anger with them he was. And then, when the other boy offered to tutor the so-called dumb ox, how swift to hear the quiet giant was. And that is what made this other boy ready to listen to Thomas now, that example of virtue as well as of learning. And so, when Thomas finally finished his short discourse, the other boy humbly acknowledged how well he answered by asking St. Thomas to be his own tutor. There are many other stories of the life of St. Thomas, my dear faithful, both of his intellectual triumphs, where he defeated the opponents of the Catholic faith, and as well of the quiet, meek, virtuous man who looked not to crush, but to convert and win souls to God. Throughout all of them, you will find again and again that St. Thomas Aquinas, the foremost doctor of the Church, was always, as St. James the Apostle admonishes in today's epistle, swift to hear, but slow to speak, and slow to anger. With all his brilliance, the angelic doctor was never too proud to refuse to listen, to learn something more from whatever source. He was not overcome by outrage at opposition he met, so that he refused to hear what they had to say. St. Thomas did not just drown others out with his declarations and condemnations. No, again, he was swift to hear, ready to listen, happy to learn. This is what enabled him to research into Aristotle, a pagan philosopher from ancient Greece, and whose philosophy was, at St. Thomas's time of the 13th century, used by the Mohammedans to prove their own religion. St. Thomas humbly studied the writings of Aristotle, and he took this philosophy for his own, and then used it to prove the Mohammedans wrong. This is the origin of one of his great works, the Summa Theologica Contra Gentiles, or the Theological Summary Against the Gentiles. But St. Thomas did not stop there, for he again used Aristotle's philosophy for his greatest work, the Summa Theologica, or called the Summa for short. But again, even here in his greatest work, we see how ready he was to listen first. For in the Summa, at every point St. Thomas describes, he always starts with the question at hand, like, what is man? But then he starts with the theories opposing his own. And these theories are sometimes laboriously explained, and he may give not just one, but five different arguments against his own belief. He truly strove to understand the opposition. And then, and only then, Does St. Thomas answer with his own arguments? This is what made him the great doctor of the Church, so much so that during the Vatican Council, the true one in the 19th century, St. Thomas's Summa was placed on the altar beside the Bible itself to show that this work of man is a wonderful compendium of God's truth. Now, my dear faithful, you and I do not need to become doctors of the Church, but we too should be swift to hear, but slow to speak, and slow to anger. We are all instruments in the hands of God to be used as He wills. This does not mean we live just a passive part, to let the world pass by and sigh that nothing is changing. No, we must work for the change, for our salvation, and as well the salvation of our fellow man. Our first tools are always prayer to the Lord of light and sacrifice to earn merit, which the Savior will use to save souls. Without these first two tools, nothing will be accomplished, nothing will change, and no souls will be saved by our hand. However, with them, we can do all things, but they can't be alone. Our next great tool is to listen, to study, to learn. We must know our faith. Every Catholic should be able to list the Ten Commandments, the Seven Sacraments, the Six Commandments of the Church. We should be able to explain what the Mass is, why Mary, the Mother of God, is so honored, that sanctifying grace is the key to salvation. These are a few baseline truths of our faith, and all Catholics require a firm foundation of Catholic knowledge. How else can we really call ourselves Catholic if we do not have that? Again, we don't need to be theologians like St. Thomas Aquinas was, but we should have a firm grasp of the bedrock of the faith. And thus, reading the Catechism, the My Catholic Faith, or other books of solid Catholic doctrine really must be a part of our life. We should not be content with our current knowledge, but should seek to learn more of God, of His truth, His beauty, His goodness. And then, when we meet opposition, someone attacking the faith, we must stand firm against the error, but not by rage and simply lashing out without thought. No, for there may be ignorance on the other person's side, that they simply don't know the true answer. And maybe this is an opportunity for us to be an instrument of the Holy Ghost, a way for this soul to receive even a bit of light that they had never received before. Thus, when you hear someone attacking the faith, be slow to speak. Take the time first to see if this person honestly raises this objection to Catholicism, or are they belligerent attackers? If they want nothing more than to feel good about themselves by demeaning the Catholic faith, then answer them patiently but briefly and leave it there. There is oftentimes no point to furthering this conversation. But if there is some hope of actually teaching them something, then calmly and humbly strive to present the truth. Not because you are right, you know better, but because their salvation may be helped by this. This may be the preordained time when the Holy Ghost will touch their heart with the actual grace they need to enlighten their minds to truth and to strengthen their wills to do good. To be fitting instruments of God, to really bring about change then, my dear faithful, we must strive both for holiness as well as knowledge. Practice meekness each day, my dear faithful. Patiently bear with opposition and be swift to hear those who really seek the truth. Then stop and think and pray. Only after this, answer as best you can. And if you do not have an answer, then do not be afraid to ask the question of another, especially of a priest. And remember as well, the Holy Ghost, God Himself, dwells in all those in the state of grace. He is your great ally. Seek His aid to enlighten and strengthen you with His grace, so that, please God, you can enlighten and strengthen another. Let us turn to Him and pray for grace. Look to Him in every difficulty, whenever you feel unsure of what to say, what to answer. His grace will strengthen you. He will carry you through. Even if the answer is to humbly say, "I don't know the correct thing to say. Let me ask my priest, and I'll get back to you." Please God, with our efforts, our study to learn the faith more and more, our sacrifice to practice it virtuously, we may save the souls of those we meet. We may never be looked to by the whole church as a leading light, as we do to St. Thomas Aquinas, but there may be that one person who we were instrumental in lighting the torch of faith in their hearts. What gratitude will fill their eyes when, please God, we meet them again in heaven? Then we will be so grateful that we were swift to hear, but slow to speak, and slow to anger. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.